Hi, this is Bob Barney, and for a special Sabbath show, at least for my family and for myself, is today is actually the fifth anniversary of my mother's death, and it was a death from cancer, not COVID, even though I'll get into the story, that is not what the powers to be wanted it to be called, because hospitals got like $30,000 for every COVID death, no matter if you died in a motorcycle accident or if you died of cancer. They tried to make it a COVID death. But I wanted to go and talk about the faith of my mom, and I think God gave her a great life. She outlived my dad by some 22 years. My dad died in December of 1998, he died one day after my youngest child's birthday, which it sounds bad to say this, but we were glad at least he did not die on our daughter's birthday, because that would have been a horrible mark to always remember for her birthday. But he died on December the 28th of 1999, and he was my hero. I had a tribute several years ago about my dad on the message board and on the main page of The Plain Truth, and I don't believe I ever did a broadcast. I might have. I've done so many now. But he was my hero. I grew up in the late 1960s, 1970s, the hippie movement, when everybody didn't like their parents and they didn't like the older generation. Well, that wasn't me. I was a square peg in a round hole of the day. My father was my hero. His brother, my Uncle Will, was a hero of mine. And I looked up to my elders. I saw them as people who fought in World War II, very good people, decent people, people of their word. But this tribute today is for my mother. And she lived, like I said, she lived a pretty good long life. Most of her 91 years, 90 of her 91 years, my mom was very active. My brother Billy, who's been retired now from the Nestle company for many years, I think about 12, 15 years, something like that, he walks every day. He walks miles and miles and miles, and he really is in fit shape for his age. And he's 4 years older than I am. And our mom would walk together, and she couldn't walk as many miles as he did, but she could walk a good 2 or 3 miles at a good pace every single day when she was 90 years old. In fact, my brother would tell you that she was walking within a month or two of her death, because it happened so radically fast back in that July of 2020 when COVID was raging. And I'm going to tell you something right now. It was a horrible thing. She lived in Connecticut, in our home, the same home that I was born and raised in. I was born in the Milford Hospital, but I was raised in that home, and that home means a lot to me. And my brother still lives there to this day. It's a beautiful place in Connecticut. And she died at home, and that was what my dad would have wanted. He left enough money that she would never go to a nursing home. In fact, about a year before that, she was sick, and she was placed in a nursing home, and my wife and I had to go up there and rescue her and get her the hell out of there, because I knew my father, if he were alive, would just absolutely go crazy to know that he worked and saved all his money for his family and his wife of his life, and he never wanted to see her in a nursing home or die in a nursing home. And God blessed that union, and she died at home. And unfortunately, I had to witness the whole thing, and it has never really left my mind. So I wrote this tribute to her yesterday at 6:15 p.m. It was a Sunday. My mom lost her battle for life. She fought hard to the very end, but today I want to record her life. It was a great life that she had. She was born in Canaan, Connecticut, but moved to New Milford as a young girl, where her dad worked at the quarry in New Milford, in New England limestone, for many years. And then later he worked at what was called the bleachery, and then Nestle's. My father got him a job at Nestle's, where he retired from. As far as I can remember, my mom has had a simple faith in God that has meant so much to my life, even the days that I was an atheist. I started out as a very religious young boy. I think most people, if they saw me as a child, they would have fell in love with me. I was like the Leave It to Beaver type years. I had a great childhood, and I truly believed in God. And unfortunately, that because of education, and I love science and history. The schooling system got me to become an atheist, and I discounted God. Her father, my grandfather Brandt, was also an atheist. He did not believe in God, and he went out not believing in God. And he had an influence in my life and how I thought of things as well. And so, but my mom always had a very, very simple belief in the Lord Jesus and God the Father. She really did her whole life. Even though when she was in the Episcopalian church where she was raised in and we were raised in, it was myself in the mid-1970s that got our family on the track of the Sabbath day, the law of God, and listening at the time to Herbert Armstrong, Garner Ted Armstrong, and other people who understood the truth, the plain truth, I should say, about the Sabbath day. But even as a child, I can remember my mom going to church every Sunday for a long time. She eventually stopped going to church because she had a brain, and she saw the hypocrisy in modern religion. And she always believed in God, but she did see the hypocrisy, and she stopped going. But that didn't stop her from reading the Bible constantly. My mom read everything. She read every mystery novel. She read I don't know how many paperback books. Every day she had a book in her hand, her whole life. I can always remember her reading one book after another. So she always read the Bible, and she believed in the Bible. Her very famous, favorite part of the Bible was this 23rd Psalm. And I have a video somewhere. Maybe I can get that up to my editor. I have a video of my granddaughter, Isabel, reading her the 23rd Psalm about a week before she died when she's in bed. And it was very touching. And I'll tell you, it's hard to even watch it to this day because it was so moving because she loved that verse. But she was a believer. Actually, I have to say this. Mom was less afraid of death than I am. She was ready to go, even though she knows what it really meant. At first, she thought of going to heaven like everybody in the Episcopal, Catholic, and mainstream Christianity. But she had enough time listening to me, listening to the Garner Ted Armstrong or Herbert Armstrong or other people who knew the truth about death and what happens when you die. She knew that, and she knew she wasn't going to go to heaven and where my dad was, because she knew my dad was still in the grave, and she knew that she was going to be joining him in that grave, and it was going to be a long wait. She understood the plain words of the Bible, that when she died, she knew she was going into a grave to lie there and wait until the resurrection of the dead, which does not happen, as I say over and over again, until Jesus Christ returns. She was not fooled like most people. She was born in 1929 in Canaan, Connecticut, the year of the Great Crash, and grew up during the Depression. However, unlike my dad, who lived in poverty and was forced to leave school at 13 and worked basically as a slave on a neighboring farm for room and board, Mom's father was very smart, very industrious, very fortunate, and a very hard worker. He had a job throughout the Depression and made good money. He was a high-paying job, and he kept food on the table, and even luxury foods that others could not even afford or have. They were not rich by any imagination, but they were not dirt poor, like my dad was. They lived quite well. She met my dad when she was 16 years old. He was working on a farm, the same farm that I've told you in some stories, but one day I'll give the whole story of the farm in my life and what it meant for me and where I found God, in a way, at that farm, listening to Garner Ted Armstrong running a farm stand, which was the oldest continually running farm stand in the state of Connecticut. And it was the first ever vegetable farm stand, I have been told, in the state of Connecticut, started in the 1920s by Mary Weaver. It was the Weaver Farm. Before that, it was the Senator Andrew Barnes Farm. And he was very famous selectman in New Milford and politician. And that was the place my father started working in the mid-1940s until he went to work for the Nestle Company. But even going to the Nestle Company, he continued to work on that farm. And so did my brothers and I work picking, planting, picking, plowing, you name it. We did everything on that farm for Mary Weaver. And when after she sold the farm to Kimberly Clark for a dump, and they didn't really want the people of New Milford realizing it was a dump, they allowed a 14-year-old kid, named Bob Barney to go run that vegetable stand on his own, and to make the people of the town still think that place was the same as when Mary Weaver owned it. But that was where she met my father, I should say. And I have a little side note here that I didn't write in the original tribute to her. Where she met him was right next to a bridge called Boardman's Bridge. And it was it's a famous bridge to this day. If you put Boardman's Bridge into a search engine, you will find that original bridge. You'll see the new one that sits right next to it. But you'll see that original bridge, which is a national landmark. It was built in 1988, and it still stands to this day. My brother Billy told me there were several movies, one horror movie filmed on that bridge after it was closed to the public. But she met my father where that bridge, it spans the Housatonic River, going down from Massachusetts into Connecticut and down into the Long Island Sound. And it's the second biggest river in Connecticut. Of course, the Connecticut River is bigger. And she met him where the bridge on the farm side of the road. We lived on the road we lived in was on the opposite side of the river, Boardman area, it's called. And she met my father there when she was 16 years old. He was working on the farm. And that is the place many, many years later, after my dad died, when she decided she wanted to be baptized again, because she was never baptized as an adult in the Episcopal religion. They sprinkle water on babies and call that baptism, nowhere found in the Bible. And I baptized her in that same spot where she met my dad, and it meant a lot to her, and it means a lot to me to this day. And she spent the next, I guess, 12 or 14 years as a newly baptized student of Christ. But she was a student of Christ her whole life. She was a strong woman. She was a woman who was not one of these women that was easily, what's the right word I'm looking for? She wasn't manipulated by men. She wasn't deceived by the world. She understood what was the real world around her. She understood the double standard between women and men, and she would vocalize that as a kid, when I was a kid. And we understood that she was no woman's liber. She was no radical lefty. She wasn't even liberal. She was very conservative-minded, like anybody reading the Bible is going to be quite conservative, by the way. But she was very forgiving, and she practiced Christianity in a way better than I do, and I'll tell you that right now. She had a very kind heart, and she also saw the frailty of life and of people in general. And I think God blessed her with a long, long, long life. But her dying was an awful situation. And I'll get into that after this brief timeout. Hi, Bob Barney with The Plain Truth today, talking about my mom today, but we talk about all kinds of subjects, from politics, the economy, to what's going on, and also what God has planned for you and this nation and the world that is coming to a theater near you. That's theplaintruth.com and theplaintruthtoday.com. Thank you for listening. The time when my mom died was during the heart of COVID, and Connecticut was one of those Nazi-like states that did not allow people from Virginia to go there. So because we are a family-run paint business, we manufacture automotive paint, we had to go up in shifts for a death watch because we knew she was going to die of this cancer. And so my daughters would go up and I would stay and watch the business and make sure we weren't trapped in Connecticut. And then when we went up, they had to go home. There was a few weekends when we were all there together, and we took a real chance doing that, but we realized we could hide the cars because we have a big yard and some behind the house. We could hide the cars in our home where my brother and my mother lived. And so we spent one or two weekends together, and we always had to travel in my brother's truck or car with Connecticut plates because, believe it or not, it was against the law in Connecticut for Virginians to go to Connecticut during COVID. It was just nonsensical Nazi-like rules. And my mom's dying, and we wanted to be there. And lo and behold, it was getting worse and worse, but my daughters decided they had to run the business and they couldn't be trapped in Connecticut. So Tammy and I, my wife Tammy and I, were left to take care of her for the last week of her life. And it was a Sunday. On this day, it was a Sunday, not a Sabbath day. And it was 6 o'clock at night. It was actually 5 o'clock at night when we went in there that she went into a coma. And she started what they call the death rattle, where it sounds like she's gasping for breath and that she's suffering. And the nurse that was there to take care of her, a very, very heroic nurse who fought off the authorities trying to list her death as a COVID related. And I'll never forget that she did that. But she said that people don't know they're doing this. They're in a coma. We hear it, but they don't. And I held her hands, and that death rattle went on for an hour and 15 minutes to an hour and a half. And it was a horrible, horrible, horrible experience. My brother Billy didn't want to stay there, and I don't blame him. I had to. I held her hand because I thought maybe she was conscious enough to know that I was there. And I held it, and that rattle went on and on. It was awful. And we were crying. To be honest, we were crying. We didn't maybe make a sound of crying, but there was tears in our eyes to watch the love of my mother fade from life while holding my hand. And there was what I felt like there was a feeling of holding my hand, that she was holding back. The nurse said she wasn't, but I couldn't take that chance, and I held it, and there was a final gasp at 6:15 p.m., and everything went limp, and I knew she was dead, and that was the end of her life, a very long life and a very sad day for my family. I had to call the kids and the grandkids and explain what had happened, and then we all went up there for the funeral, and we did the funeral. I did the funeral. It was so just her brother, my Uncle Frankie, who just passed away this past summer at 94, my brother Bill, my other brother Vic and his wife could not make it, and myself and my wife, and we did a reading from the Bible, which is 1 Corinthians 15. I always tell people, you want to know what death is? Read 1 Corinthians 15, and you will understand death. Then read Revelation chapter 20 and 21, and you will understand the whole plan of God when it comes to your life and your death, and when everything happens, and you don't go to heaven when you die. You go into a grave, a cold grave, and you await a promise that God made, that Jesus Christ makes to all Christians, that he will raise you from the dead upon his return. And that's the promise you have, and that's the hope you have going into the grave. I'm afraid of it. My mom was not. She was a stronger Christian than I was. I might have knew more. I might have knew a lot more what was in that Bible, but she had the spirit. She had the spirit of trusting and believing in Jesus Christ and God the Father. And so I just want to also now get off that sad subject and just mention some things about her life that I didn't mention earlier. And when I said, by the way, she had this simple faith, she would, you'd see her, and these were the bad times for our business, Tamco, back in the Obama years when we didn't know from week to week where we were going to make it or not. And she would say, "Don't worry, I'm praying to the Lord, and he'll make sure you do well." And I understood her sincerity, and I'm going to tell you another side story in a minute, but you know, her prayers must have worked because little by little, we did better and better and better. It was a long haul. There were many times, and many of my prayers to God was, why can't you let us make it? You know, we need to have Tamco make it for us to ever get the plain truth really off the ground. And it just was not happening. And it for a long, long time. Now I look back and we are living in quite well and all from a few great years. And we're still doing quite well because now we're well known. Before, when we were struggling, a lot of people didn't know the name Tamco. We're going to go worldwide now. But she would say, I'm going to pray for you. Or if somebody was sick, I'm going to pray for you. And when you got better or the business, I remember going up there in 2019 and saying we had the best 3 years. I knew it because I prayed to God and the Lord made sure he was going to bless you, Bobby. She called me Bobby a lot. And she believed it. And I'm not saying she was wrong to believe it, because it turned out to be true. Fulfilled prophecy on her part. She had a very, very spiritual mind. She just, like I said, she always, that I can remember, she always believed that God was watching over all of us. And when she left the Episcopal Church, because she saw the hypocrisy there, she still believed in God and Jesus and the Father. And when I started believing what I did back in the 70s, and she listened, my brothers came along first, but she came along and she understood it was real. It was what I was saying she could find in the Bible. She read all the time, as I mentioned earlier. She read every book I could ever think of, especially your murder mystery books and stuff like that, you know, those dime novels, they used to call them, and read the Bible every day. And she's well missed by me. I miss her every day. I miss my dad every day, too. I wish my dad could have lived long enough to see at least some of my grandchildren. He would have loved them all, but he would have loved the ones he hopefully could have seen. If he could live only as long as Mom did, he would have seen some great kids and grandkids. And but I do also wish he saw the success of TAMCO, because when he died in 1998, TAMCO was, though it was already around 11 years or 10 years old, I guess, but we had not gone full bore in TAMCO yet when he died. And so he never saw what we've become. We're going to become a global paint company, hopefully this year. We got to do a little things different because of these stupid tariffs that I talked about in other shows, but we're going to do it. And soon TAMCO is going to be known around the world. And I wish my dad could have seen it. I wish my mom could have seen that. But anyway, I miss them too every day. As I said, and I think another program, I don't think I said it here, I never had a conflict that I didn't trust my parents. They were my heroes. I knew they were right. I would argue with them, but I wasn't one of those hippies that thought all older people, including their parents, were wrong. I didn't think my father was wrong about too many things. And I didn't think my mom was wrong about too many things either. And I had a very good, blessed childhood. I'm the one that became the atheist, not my mom. I'm the one that rejected God, not my mom. And so I'm back there. And she did see that, and she was glad to see that for a long time of her life. And she was happy to see what her children has turned out to be. All three brothers, all three of her sons are strong believers in God, and the God that we talk about, the God of the Sabbath, the God of the law, Jesus of the Old Testament. All three of us believe the same thing. And so I thought on this fifth anniversary, I would do this tribute to my mom. I've done a broadcast tribute to my dad, but one of these days, maybe on his birthday, I'll do that, because the man has an incredible story himself. In fact, I believe if I ever told the story as a story, it would make a great movie. Here's a man that grew up in abject poverty, was farmed out like slaves, him and his brother and sister, to work on farms for room and board, having to sit in the kitchen Christmas Day when the farmer's children would open presents, but they couldn't be in there because they got no presents and they couldn't enjoy Christmas with that family. That's how they were treated. And then my father ended up, my uncle, his brother went to war, terrible, terrible times, but he came through it, but he never talked about it. But my father was blessed by God, I tell you that right now, because during World War II, he ended up on a farm in Kent, Connecticut. He was a very good horse trainer. He knew horses like very few people knew how to do. He could shoe them. He could do everything. Break them. You name it. And he ended up working on a farm, running it, and being alone most of the time driving the farm car. And it was owned by the sister of the Warner Brothers. He met movie stars. He heard all kinds of stories, how movies were made. He told me all kinds of stories. And he lived like a king in this mansion of a farmhouse, I'm sorry. And whilst his brother, unfortunately, was in Iwo Jima or whatever in the Pacific War, with bullets flying over his head all day long. But he came out of there, and he ended up with the Nestle Company. worked his way up to the top positions in the Nestle company in Connecticut, and took great care of us. We were children that had no wants. He wasn't necessarily rich, though. He invested his money wisely, and he put money away all the time and saved money at bank accounts everywhere when he died. And he made sure his children never went through what he had to go through. And I never knew that story. I always knew that story from a young child. So I never in the 1960s thought my father didn't deserve where he was and what he got. I understood where he came from. And I understood my mother had a better life. Her father always worked, always made good money. But she, too, sacrificed for us, her children, so we could have everything we wanted. And we did. And we were blessed. And we're still blessed. I just have to keep telling God to thank him for the blessings sometimes I forget to do. This is Bob Barney with the plain truth about death and about my mom's death and a tribute to her. After all, the Plain Truth was really started. This website, the Plain Truth Bible, was really a Bible that I wrote for my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. It was never meant to go public, but I was talked into it, and I'm glad I did. Now you can buy it on Amazon. I don't make any money, $2 a Bible, but it's there, and it's a translation like nobody's ever read with all the notes and backup to it all. And the same with these broadcasts. All of these broadcasts, I quite a few people are listening to them. My heart and my hope, most of my children and my grandchildren don't listen to them. My hope is someday they will, maybe when I'm gone, and realize where I'm coming from and what I am talking about, and maybe they will take it more serious. I think my oldest daughter does, maybe my youngest. I hope so. But I really want to get to my grandchildren, too, because I understand the plain truth. It came the hard way for me, but I understand it. And I appreciate everyone who listens, contributes, tells me what they're thinking. But realize one thing when you're listening to this voice. I'm not a professional. I'm a professional paint man. But I believe in what I'm doing. I can prove, I think, quite satisfactorily to anyone what I'm doing and what I believe. And I'm never going to take any of your money. I'm never going to let you down when it comes to that. But don't ever put your faith in me. Don't ever put your faith in any man. Don't ever think you're going to follow me as I follow Christ. I want you just to follow Christ and forget about me. Listen to what I have to say. Go to the Bible, prove it, and use me as a tool. Don't look up to me. This is Bob Barney for The Plain Truth Today. Happy Sabbath, everybody. Until Monday. You'll hear me again, but God willing. Bye-bye.